It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, as we do each and every week, brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Challenge yourself on a course that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, and now the Honda Classic. Come and play at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com.
Okay, Russ, number two to you, Tiger Woods. Who's that? You ask, he's been out for a few weeks with a knee injury. Got that scoped. He's been chipping. He's been putting in this last Friday. He actually started some full swings. He has until this coming Friday to enter the Memorial, which has kind of been his target date to come back to get ready for the U.S. Open a few weeks after the Memorial. My question, how much time does he need to be ready to play Torrey Pines?
Well, I think he needs to tee it up at least once in a PGA Tour event before Torrey Pines to have a legitimate shot at winning the U.S. Open. I don't think, listen, I'm the biggest Tiger Woods fan in the world, but I don't think I can even sit here and make a case that if Tiger first tees it up at Torrey Pines, he's going to win 4 days later in the U.S. Open. He's only won two U.S. Opens. Let's not forget Pebble Beach in 2000, Bethpage in 02. So it's not like the U.S. Open is his pet major. It's more so the PGA Championship and the Masters and also the British Open. Pretty much the U.S. Open is the one that he's struggled in the most. But then there's the factor that he owns Torrey Pines. I mean, hell, he's won five or six Buicks there over the years. He's from Southern California, grew up in Cypress, about 20-minute drive from Torrey Pines in San Diego. Let me say this. I think if Tiger gets a tournament under his belt, then he's my guy going into Torrey Pines because of his history on the course and because he's won before coming back from knee surgery the second week after knee surgery. He did it at the Buick a couple years ago. He played teed it up in the season-opening Mercedes for all the winners. Then his second event was the Buick, and he won it after having knee surgery and being out for that offseason the year before in November and December, taking Christmas off and all that stuff. Teed it up in Mercedes, and his second event of the year was Buick, and he won it. And that's Torrey Pines, obviously. So I think Tiger, I think he will win the U.S. Open if he has a chance to tee it up at least once in the 2 weeks before that, which, of course, are Memorial and the Stanford St. Jude in Memphis. Here's my question. If he doesn't tee it up in Jack's tournament in the Memorial, and he has now five more days to let everyone know if he will, and he just started taking full swings this Friday. So, I mean, going into the Memorial, he'll have been taking full swings for less than 2 weeks, for like maybe 11 days, and then he's going to be teeing it up for four rounds against PGA Tour pros. That's not a lot of time. If he misses the Memorial, does he enter the St. Jude in Memphis, a tournament he's never played in, to get his feet wet the week before Torrey Pines?
I don't think so, Russ. I just don't think that Tiger does things like that. Unless he feels somehow that Memphis, the course simulation, would replicate what Torrey Pines is in any aspect. If it's similar topography, the greens are similar, whatever, then maybe he could he would justify it. But otherwise,
very similar,
I just don't.
You know, basically, the people at St. Jude, the championship in Memphis, they would behoove themselves to set up their course almost exactly like Torrey Pines, much like the people at the Shell Houston Open a couple weeks ago at Redstone did, but the week before the Masters. I mean, Phil Mickelson played the Shell for the first time in his career because he said they set up the course almost exactly like Augusta National. I should hope that they would do that in Memphis in a couple of weeks at the TPC South Winds course.
We
haven't heard that yet. We don't know if that's
aside
the case.
I'm assuming they're not going to, or they won, or whatever. But I just don't see Tiger playing in that. But here's my a couple points. I think you make a good point. Tiger, I think with the only one circumstance that I can think of, never comes into a tournament, specifically a major, unprepared. And the only one I can think of was Wingfoot at the U.S. Open. That's because his dad died, and he just his mind wasn't there, and I think he admitted that.
It was his first ever miscut as a pro in a major, and his only miscut up to this point.
But even if he doesn't play in the Memorial, Russ, Tiger Woods is the best at getting himself. How he does it, I don't know, because you're right. I mean, I play some tournament golf. I play in competitive things. And, man, that first tournament is always usually a disaster for me. It's like I don't know where I'm hitting it. I got to get through the nerves and all that stuff. Tiger's ultra human in this aspect. He can get himself geared up, ready to play an extremely difficult course and play it at his peak with almost no preparation. So, or no preparation on it for a tournament prior there, too. So I think he'll figure out a way. It will be interesting, though, to see if he does enter the Memorial, because I don't know if he can be in quote-unquote top form going into that. So whether he wants to just get in there, like you're saying, get his feet wet, possibly miss the cut there, I'm sure that's not, that is not in his DNA to just go into a tournament and say, I'm just going to do this for hits and giggles to get my game in shape. Tiger enters stuff to win it. So I would be surprised how game ready he is going into the Memorial. But if he doesn't enter that, believe me, he'll spend those 2 weeks doing whatever he needs to do to get ready for Torrey Pines, because he does not just show up at events to play them.
Mark me down for a Tiger Woods win if he is able to get himself into the Memorial. How about that, Pat?
All right.
Mark me down.
I would still put him as, even if he doesn't, he's still going to be the favorite.
It's hard for me to conceive, and I'm the biggest Tiger fan in the world. If he doesn't tee it up in any PGA Tour event, and the first one he's played in 2 months is the U.S. Open, and he wins it, I mean, if that happens, that would be a phenomenal story.
Surprise me at all.
And there would... I don't think there should be any questions in anyone else's minds that he's the best ever if that does happen. We'll wait and see. It's a couple weeks away. Father's Day weekend in Torrey Pines,
I think
Pines,
he will
San
play
Diego.
A Memorial, by the way.
Yeah, I do too. I agree. Because he's got another 5 days. And by the way, did you hear this? Men's Fitness Magazine named Tiger Woods the fittest human being on the planet. The latest men's health, I don't know if it was a Men's Health or Men's Fitness, one of those men's workout magazines. This was on Golf Central a couple of nights ago. Actually, hold on 1 second because I have it right here.
Well, whatever criteria, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Tiger's conditioning, but whoever won the Ironman last year, that's the world's human fitness.
I tend to agree with you. It's hard, even though Tiger's in great physical condition, it's hard to name a golfer as the most fittest man on the planet. But Men's Health magazines, that's what it was. Men's Health magazine, their current issue, named Tiger Woods the fittest man on the planet. So interesting stuff there.
I don't know about
that. So, you know, obviously, if anyone can come back from knee surgery quickly, it is Tiger Woods. All right, topic number three is David Duval and Pat, the former number one player in the world, only one of two men, Vijay Singh being the other, to steal the number one ranking from Tiger Woods in the last decade. Well, he is now 0-for-8 after missing the cut at this week's AT&T Classic in TPC Sugarloaf. He's now 0-for-8 cuts made this year on the PGA Tour. It's been 7 years since he was the world's number one player, 2001 to be exact. His final victory on the PGA Tour was that British Open victory in 2001, and he played in only 7 tournaments last year. Of course, he stepped aside to be with his wife during a very difficult pregnancy. He won $17 million in his career, $17 million in his career, and he has not won a single dollar yet here in 2008. He's very heavy, of course, we know that. The media guide says that he's 200 pounds. I think that's more like 240. If you've seen him lately, he's not as bad as John Daly, but it's close. I mean, he's very heavy. He said, in fact, he's finally said he realizes that he needs to lose some weight. He's in the same boat right now as a lot of other people. He needs to lose a few pounds and get a little bit healthier. Forget about the number one ranking in the world, Pat. Will this guy ever win another event on the PGA Tour?
Well, let me throw something else at you, Russ. Do you remember Craig Perks? Craig Perks won the TPC at Sawgrass
right.
A few years, not that long ago, like 3 or 4 years ago.
Speaking of chipping in, he chipped in a couple of times. I think he chipped in at 16 and 18.
And won the event. He got like a 10-year exemption of the PGA Tour, all the money, all the accolades. Well, his game went south further than Ian Baker Finch's did after the 91 British Open. I mean, just gone. The thing that Craig Perks sort of realized was, I can't play anymore. Like, he doesn't play. I'm not going to say quit. He just kind of realized whatever magic he had in the bottle there for that weekend and for whatever part of his PGA playing tour career, he just realized it was gone. So he doesn't play anymore. Now, believe me, Duval is on a completely different level than Craig Perks. He won a major. He got himself to number one. He had something that you know, very few golfers ever attain, and that's the ability to be number one. But the problem is, Russ, you know, he's had flashes here and there over the last few years where he'd shoot a 65 or something, one round out of a tournament,
right,
and make a
right.
couple cuts. But he really, really has not been close in contention since that nosedive after he won the British Open in 2000 or whatever.
Yeah, he won the 01 British Open, and then the very next year, in 02, he finished the season 80th on the money list, and then in 03... he didn't even get his card. He was 211th the following year. And obviously, he gets the exemptions to get into whatever event he wants as a PGA Tour pro. Having won the 01 British, has that 5-year exemption. So it's not like he was struggling because he didn't get his card because of money in 03. He was 211th.
So something happened to him after that British Open. I don't know what he enjoyed, you know, the largesse of finally winning the major, whatever, but he lost something in his swing. And now I give him credit. He's tried to get it back, as most golfers would. But the problem is he can't do it. There's mentally something there, Russ. It might be you physical. You mentioned the weight, too.
I think there's
mentally something there.
But you know what's weird, Pat? He still has, it seems like, unless he's just putting a face on for the cameras, it seems like he still has all the confidence. And this is one of his quotes from just this week. He said, quote, I'm a lot closer to playing great golf than my scores indicate. He said, when I'm swinging well, there's nobody in the world that hits a golf ball any better than I do. That sounds like a guy that still has some confidence.
That's good. I'm glad you have confidence. But I look at the scorecard. If you watch his scorecard, Russ, and I think he did it in the AT&T, he has at least one or two holes every round where he's got like a 7 or an 8 on a hole. Now, Duval does not swing out of his shoes. He's not one of these guys that's like swing. You know, he's got a nice, sort of compact, you know, just very rhythmic swing. So for him to take those kind of numbers on holes, he's just losing it. Russ, trust me, pros do not shoot 7 or 8s on holes like he does and have something going on. And
right.
Like, you got to be able to figure out bogey is the worst score a pro in the top 50 is going to shoot on a hole, basically, unless something freakish happens. And with a guy who has a swing like Duval's, who is not trying to, you know, do, you know, crazy stuff out there, to get 7s and 8s like he does every round, that just completely screws up his score. Something else is going on there. And, hey, I give the guy a lot of credit. He's not a nutcase like John Daly. I've met David. He's a very nice, low-key guy. He's exactly what you think he is. He's trying to do right by, you know, he married this girl that had some other kids or
right.
Not even his kids.
And that was part of it, too. I think that's part. I mean, his personal life, he said he's happier than he ever has been. You know, he's happier now than he was when he was number one player in the world. So part of the reason that golf has become not the number one priority in his life is because he's got other priorities family-wise. He's married now. He has kids, both kids that – that were his wife's kids that he became the stepfather of when they got married, and his own kids now that, you know, he's fathered some. That was the reason that he was pretty much nowhere to be found last year, because his wife had a very difficult pregnancy. So that weighs on him as well. And
I'm sure
that has a factor. I'm floored by the fact that this guy who hasn't made a cut all year long still has the confidence to make a quote like, when I'm swinging well, there's nobody in the world that hits the golf ball any better than I do.
Wow.
That's like me saying, Pat, when I study for a calculus test, I ace it. I haven't taken a calculus test in 10 years. I mean, David Duval hasn't played world-class golf in 8 years, but he still has the confidence?
I hate to use the word embarrass yourself, but why is David doing this anymore? He can make money as some kind of I don't know how he'd be as an announcer, but there's got to be
he doesn't have much of a personality.
There's
got to
be
that.
Some avenue in golf, whether it's a golf school or something up in Jacksonville, you know, working with his dad doing something golf, right, that could sort of get some of this fulfillment that he's seeking, rather than going out playing in the AT&T shooting 80 or whatever he shot to miss the cut again and just going through the motions. Hey, he could prove me wrong, and I hope he does, because I like David, and I hope he does make me eat my words. But man, I don't see it. I do not see anything coming out of this except, you know, more years of, you know, missing cuts or occasionally making a cut and then, you know, finishing 50th in some no-name event. For a guy that was at the level he was at, it's a shame, in my opinion, to see him struggling in these B sort of events and not even making the cuts in them, and then saying, like you're saying, that he's very close to what?
Yeah, I agree. How are you close?
I mean, I don't know.
Haven't made one cut yet. All right, as we tend to do here on the show, Pat, we're a little long-winded, so we...
What?
Hard to believe, but we need to take a break. So, unfortunately,
right.
Paul Guidos is now on the cutting room floor. And
that's all right. We'll get him back.
We can talk about Paul maybe later on the show. Well, that was your PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment, as we do each and every week, brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Have you ever watched a golf tournament on TV and wondered how you would do on a course the pros play? It can happen at PGA National Resort and Spa in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. You can play the PGA Tour's third toughest course, a wonderfully fiendish layout designed by Jack Nicklaus, that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, and now the Honda Classic. The Arnold Palmer Design Course and three other courses are just as devilish, making PGA National Florida's, and I might want to interject, the world's premier golf resort destination. PGA National has just been renovated, too, so everything from the entry to the pool area to the lobby to the new Ironwood restaurant and the Hip Eye Bar. Everything is cooler and greater, so it's time for you to get over to PGA National and see what all the fuss is about. It's time to experience the legend of PGA National in person, not just on TV. For a customized tune-up and tee-off golf package that includes lessons and golf on the course with an instructor, go to pgaresort.com or call 877-742-6285. Coming up next, it's our ADT Championship Spotlight segment.